Hello and welcome. It's hour number one of the Ben Maller radio program with limited commercial interruption, repackaged in the podcast format. And hour number one, we focus in on the NBA, but not the West. We're going to start out in the East. Game seven. Nothing better than a game seven. Man-to-man, eye-to-eye, toe-to-toe, face-to-face, the whole thing. And the Atlanta Hawks win Game 7, or did the Sixers lose Game 7? Doc Rivers and Ben Simmons on the hot seat in Philadelphia. A blow-by-blow, tail-of-the-tape breakdown of a surprising outcome in the NBA as the Hawks have advanced to the Eastern Conference Finals. We'll give you our 10 cents right now. Here it is, our number one. A brotherly meltdown. Welcome in the beginning of another week of the Ben Maller Show. We are in the air everywhere as the balloon goes up coast to coast, border to border, and beyond on the vast and powerful microphones of FSR emanating live from the flight deck as we soar on the red eye all night long, hanging out here at the Fox Sports Radio studios. Hope all is well with you. We are back at it again. Had a productive weekend. A lot of traveling around over the weekend. But our lead this hour coming from the NBA, and I'm not going to start where you think I'm going to start. I'm going to zig when you think I'm going to zag. And we go to Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Semifinals, the upstart Atlanta Hawks against the heavily favored 76ers. Figure Game 7, the home team wins most of the time in Game 7. Certainly Philadelphia, if you break the roster player for player, you'd say, well, the Sixers, come on, they're going to win. They were the top team in the East this year. They're not going to blow it. And they blew it. Did you watch? I don't know if you watched this or not. I don't know what you had going on. But let me give you the condensed recap. So in a game that was nip and tuck for much of the evening, both teams feeling the pressure. Some guy named Kevin Huerter. I don't know who that is, but he scored 27 points, Kevin Huerter. And Trae Young, who didn't play particularly well most of the game, ended up with 21, made some big baskets late. And the Atlanta Hawks, by the hair on their chinny-chin-chin, squeeze their way past the Sixers 103-96, and they take Game 7. They get it done on the road, and they have advanced. The Atlanta Hawks, if you had them in your bracket, they are going to the Eastern Conference Final. But we have plenty of time to talk about the Hawks. The better story here is in the losing locker room. And Philadelphia, we have a problemo, Philadelphia. So let us discuss. Now the question, did the Hawks win this game or did the Sixers lose the game? This is obvious. This is all on Philly. This is all on Philly. Now my thoughts on this, you've got the denominator, barrel, and red tag. And we will tie all of these things together into an adequate Maller monologue. Now, A, you get what you pay for. You get what you anticipate in life when you make certain decisions. There are a trickle-down level of effect when you make certain moves. The 76ers, for example, had decided last offseason that they needed a change in the coaching room. And he could have hired anyone. It was a very attractive job. Big market, superstar players, a city that was thirsty for a winning NBA team to get over the hump. And the 76ers, with a thorough job search, decided on Doc Rivers as the coach they wanted with open arms. They wanted to hire Doc Rivers. They were braggadocious about the hire, overlooking the many failures on Doc's resume, and there are lots from his time with the Clippers. And they're like, hey, listen, this guy's going to be in Philadelphia, and he's going to be great. And it's, you know, it's more of the Clipper problem than a Doc Rivers problem. Oh, yeah? I hope you enjoyed the full Doc Rivers playoff experience. That was a classical simpatico type performance in the postseason for a Doc Rivers coached postseason team. We know the margins are thin in the postseason, but very few coaches have done less with more than Doc Rivers has done in the NBA. We saw it for years with the Clippers, those great Lob City teams with Chris Paul and Blake Griffin and DeAndre Jordan and others, and they continually went belly up in big games, collapsing against teams they had more talent than. And, it happened yet again, but not with the Clipper uniform. Now, Doc Rivers is coaching teams wearing the 76ers laundry, but what is the common denominator? That's right. Ding, 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 ding. The good doctor. Doc Rivers coach teams gag on hairballs in the postseason. It's what happens. It's what happens. You come to embrace it. You come to accept it. In this case, they choked on the cheesesteak. Doc Rivers has 29 losses with a chance to clinch a playoff series, the most losses by a head coach in NBA history. We've already documented over the time we've been here that Doc Rivers is the greatest gag artist when it comes to blowing a 3-1 lead as a coach in a playoff series. But his 341 winning percentage in clinching playoff games of playoff series is the worst all-time among coaches with 20 or more opportunities, and it's not even close. Doc is in a class all by himself, and a class that you don't want to be in because you're the one wearing the dunce cap. Now, part B of this, Doc Rivers deserves the full brunt of the criticism. He's a likable guy. He doesn't usually get it because the media likes him. The NBA media kowtowed at Doc Rivers. It's a popularity contest, and I get it. He's a good quote. Doc's the kind of guy you would want as the master of ceremonies. Now, you want Doc Rivers out there, and you want him to MC your event, but you don't want him coaching your team in a closeout game, certainly not a Game 7. But he was brought in under the false pretext of the missing link. Brent Brown was blamed for past failures, and Coach Brown was exiled and excommunicated. Trust the process. Which we don't have a problem with that, but if you're going to go out and hand pick your new coach, and you're Daryl Morey, the smartest man in the NBA, Daryl Morey, right, just ask him. He'll tell you how smart he is. It's in this case, hiring Doc Rivers, I mean, what are you thinking? You think that was just the Clipper stank? No, it wasn't the Clipper stank. It was the Doc Rivers stank. And if the Clippers had gotten rid of this bum several years ago, they would have already advanced to a conference finals, which they now have. Thank God Doc is gone coaching that team. His teams, we mentioned the common denominator, Doc Rivers coach teams, the players do not perform in pressure situations, players that have reputations of being good players, they do not rise up with Doc Rivers as coach. And I'm not a big believer that coaching matters all that much in the NBA, but when you got a bad one, it does matter. It does become a problem, and Doc Rivers is on that list. It makes it all the more amazing, as we've said in previous episodes, that the Boston Celtics were able to win a championship with Paul Pierce and Ray Allen, Kevin Garnett and those guys, that they were able to win with Doc Rivers. That makes it all the more impressive that they overcame this guy as their coach and were able to win a championship. But as far as looking around the Sixers locker room, and while Doc gets most of the blame, it's really like shooting fish in a barrel. It's like shooting fish in a barrel. Ben Simmons, has there ever been a more phony star player than Ben Simmons? And we were on this ahead of most people. We said this a couple years ago. Liability. Late in games, Ben Simmons is a liability. He cannot play in crunch time. He plays like he's a gutless puke in those crucial moments at the end of games. And the Sixers tried. They played him most of the fourth quarter in Game 7. And how did that work out? The typical Ben Simmons package, which is equal parts anxiety, fear, panic, confusion. All those things set in, and Simmons attempted no field goals in the fourth quarter. Now, I understand that you don't have to be a ball hog, and there's like a fine balance between being the hero guy, playing hero ball. What is the opposite? Like, Ben Simmons has created a whole new genre in the NBA. Most of the time, it's the ball hog. Like, we goof on Russell Westbrook because he shoots the ball every single time. He doesn't share the ball much late in games, tries to take over and be the hero. But what do you call Ben Simmons? In the seven games, he shot in the fourth quarter, three shots in the seven games in the fourth quarter. And there were several of those games. In the last three, he didn't even take a shot. And congratulations to Ben Simmons. You think of inept foul shooting. And a 76ers guard, Ben Simmons, he just shot 34% from the charity stripe, 34% in this playoff series, which is the lowest foul shooting in a single playoff in NBA history. Minimum 70 attempts. Ben Simmons has done the impossible. He just had a worse postseason shooting from the charity stripe than Shaquille O'Neal. Shaquille O'Neal's record has been broken. Shaq, the hack of Shaq, the man they created a term for, hack of Shaq, he shot 37.4%, and Ben Simmons, 3 percentage points, and then some below where Shaq was at his low water mark. And he's below Shaq, Ben Simmons below Shaq, he's below Wilt Chamberlain, he's the worst of the worst. And while Joel Embiid, we like Joel Embiid, he continues to be exactly what Clint Capella of the Hawks said he was. He gave the scouting report out, and it showed up in several of the games Philadelphia lost at home. Joel Embiid has fatigue issues late in games. And so Philadelphia losing three times to Atlanta in their own gymnasium. Holy Doc Rivers, Batman. I mean, you talk about pie in the face. My goodness, that's not a tasty cake. That's a stinky cake is what it is. All right, now last word here. So the Hawks will play the Bucks in the Eastern Conference Finals. And this guarantees to be a ratings debacle, but I'm not a television executive, and I don't work for the NBA, so I don't really care. If I did work for television, and if I was an advertiser, I would be worried. But the Hawks doing it because they took advantage of the extreme tight tuchus syndrome that Philadelphia suffered for. Those guys on the Sixers, they needed by the end of the game there, game seven, they needed a defibrillator. I mean, someone named, as we said, Kevin Huerter, a totally unknown, had a totally tubular performance. And Atlanta wins with Trae Young having a John Starks-like performance in a big game, drowning for 75% of the night. He took 16 shots. He was 2 of 16, 1 of 8 from three-point range over the first three quarters. He had 11 points. That was over the first 75% of the game, 2 of 16. He made one shot in the first half. And then in the fourth quarter, Trae Young, he wasn't great. He was 3 out of 7, but he made some big shots and 10 points down the stretch. And so Atlanta moves on. So you got one star versus one star. Milwaukee's got one star. Giannis Antetokounmpo. The Hawks have one star in Trae Young. More time to break that down. But let's circle back to the Sixers. The winds of change will be blowing in Philadelphia, just like the Sixers blew and sucked in this series. Philadelphia is going to demand heads roll, that there's accountability. And I would expect several big names to be placed into a blender and hit the on button and bland. Ben Simmons is at the very top of the list. Ben Simmons will be tossed on the auctioning block, guaranteed. Think of this as a red tag sale. And Ben Simmons can't be yours. You can buy him for a song. He can be bought for a song and a dance. And you'll hear his name tossed all around the rumor mill over the NBA offseason. Philadelphia will see what they can get for Simmons, if that's a viable option. Are they going to try again to reinvent the wheel? And then Doc Rivers is not guaranteed to return either. Doc's the guy that talks the talk, but his teams rarely walk the walk. And that's the reality of the situation. And so that is where we are right now. All right, let's hear now in the locker room some of the post-game festivities here. And a soundbite for the ages, Doc Rivers asked point blank whether or not Ben Simmons can be a point guard for a championship team. And let's just say, Doc, you'll hear the question and the answer. He stuttered a bit.
Doc, do you think Ben Simmons can still be a point guard for a championship team like the one you guys want to become?
Yeah, David, I don't know that question or the answer to that right now. You know, so I don't know the answer to that.
What do you, when you say get in the gym with him, what needs to be done? I mean, obviously, this is coach.
Yeah, I mean, that's between Ben and I.
Yeah. All right. So Doc, he didn't say no. He just tap danced around it. He tap danced around. Right, here's more from Doc Rivers, who's become the master. He's like a Jedi Knight in recent years of exiting stage left in the second round of the playoffs. And you can't blame the Clippers anymore. You can't blame, oh, the curse of the Clippers, all that bull crap the media comes up with. You can't blame that because they're in Philadelphia. There's no curse on the Sixers. They've had good teams over the years. Here's Doc Rivers, and you'll hear the question and the answer on his situation.
Second year in a row where, you know, your teams have been in good spots in the second round and it's not going your way. Is there an element, you know, of self-reflection that has to be done in that? And, you know, what are the lessons to be learned for you?
That we lost and we want to win, you know. If it was the same team, Austin, I would actually justify that question. But since it's two different teams, you know, listen, this team last year got swept in the first round. We had a chance to go to the to the Eastern Finals. I'm not going to make this into a negative year.
Now, what about you, Doc? The question was more about you. I think to me that was more about Doc Rivers than it was the Sixers as a whole. All right, we'll leave it there. We'll hear more. We got Ben Simmons in the on-deck circle. We'll hear from Ben Simmons. We'll take your phone calls. We're at it a new week. Out of the floodgates we go, 877-996-6369. 877-99-ON-FOX. The agony and the ecstasy of the postseason. And will we see more changes of scenery? That's a nice politically correct term that people throw out when players fail and get repackaged from one organization to another. 877-996-6369 if you would like to be part. But there's definitely going to be some collateral damage that will take place because of this gag fest by the Sixers, the heavily favored Philadelphia team. Remember when they lost game one, people were like, well, you know, it's just a fluke and Philadelphia will come back and win the next four. It'll be a gentleman's sweep. They spotted the Hawks a game. They'll come back and win the rest. Well, that did not happen. 877-99-ON-FOX. 877-996-6369. And 1 foot out the door or 2 feet out the door. We'll get to that and we will do it next.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Listen up, Maller Militia. The Ben Maller Show is the show of the people, by the people, for the people. Join the movement and follow your host on Twitter. He's at Ben Maller. And you can tweet at and follow me, Eddie Garcia, your humble sidekick, the voice of reason. I'm at Eddie on Fox. And now live from the Fox Sports Radio studios, it's Ben Maller. I don't care, I'm leaving, goodbye.
Alf, the alien opiner from Springfield, Mass., just down the street from the Pro Basketball Hall of Fame, writes in, says, Ben, do you think that Joel Embiid still trusts the process? How long before he wants out?
Nope.
Well, does he trust the process? No. But that's his nickname, so he's got to ride with it. And does he want out? I want to say no. Like, Embiid has embraced the shtick of Philadelphia, at least from afar, from an outsider looking in into the belly of the beast there in the Delaware Valley. It would appear that Joel Embiid is accepted the situation. That doesn't mean he would not approve and green light Ben Simmons being traded. Eugene in Chicago writes in and says, Ben, what do you think about Ben Simmons for Terrence Mann? You're not allowed to have Terrence Mann. My favorite Clipper, Terrence Mann, who stuck the dagger in the hearts of the Utah Jazz over the weekend. We won the great big game performances. You're not allowed to touch Terrence Mann. No. And plus, you got to be realistic, Eugene. Ben Simmons, talk about a thief in the night here, a guy that doesn't want to shoot the ball in the fourth quarter of playoff games, is a player who's making over $30 million a year, Ben Simmons. So Terrence Mann is, by NBA standards, just a nobody. He's a minimum guy. He's a millionaire, but by the NBA world, he's a peon. He's the rank and file, and Ben Simmons is one of the upper crust. So if you look at that situation, you're like, no, forget about it. Now, if you wouldn't want to trade Ben Simmons and you want to trade him to L.A., the more realistic option would be the Lakers to trade Anthony Davis to Philadelphia and get Ben Simmons in return. Now, that's a trade that would work out with the salary cap. Would be a terrible trade, although Ben Simmons is, at least he's healthy. He's a no-show when he plays in big games. Anthony Davis is a no-show because he gets hurt. His body crumbles. He can't handle it. But that's a trade. And you can go on the NBA trade machine and figure out your own fantasy trade. But that one would work. And that's Anthony Davis for Ben Simmons. Straight up, mano a mano. Otherwise, the Clippers would have to trade like five or six players to get Ben Simmons. And they're in the conference finals. They're four wins away from the NBA finals. I'm guessing they're not going to be interested in that. Vols fan Jimmy writes in. He's authentic Tennessee. He says, Ben Simmons should be in prison for running a Ponzi scheme on the 76ers. The Aussie guy writes in, says, A-plus monologue, Big Ben. There is no doubt the Sixers choked it away. Doc is the gold standard for choking, and Ben Simmons is mentally broken. But you got to respect Trae Young continuing to launch and make big plays late. Well, you praise him because the Hawks won the game, Aussie guy. You praise him because the Hawks won the game. This was not the night of Trae Young. But that old line all the top players in the NBA have said over the years, right? The shooters shoot, you keep shooting, you don't back down, all that stuff. The burner account writes in, says, I really don't have much to say about that vomit comet ride we've seen with the Sixers. So good monologue, Benjamin. And hey, please don't take any more days off. Thanks in advance. Yeah. Well, I'm sorry I did not get proper approval, but I could not work. There was some guy at the news desk. I forget who it was, but I could not be in here. I could not handle the stress. I needed a mental day. Needed my safe space. Isn't that the language of the day? Mr. Luciano writes in, says, great monologue, Benjamin, speaking the truth on Ben Simmons. By the way, congratulations on your team making the conference finals. Also, please let the Koopa Loop know the Gigantes are coming to town and will defeat his Angels. It's signed Mr. Luciano. Koopa Loop, I'm sorry. According to Mr. Luciano, the Angels are doomed because the Giants will kill them. Deal with that. James the Machinist from the Twin Cities says, welcome back, Ben. Many of us were initially disappointed that you were away on Thursday into Friday, but I wound up pleasantly surprised. While some may say 4 hours of lame jokes isn't too much, I found it enjoyable. Also, Doc Rivers stinks. The Sixers better start the process over. And Ben Simmons sucks, so he says. Mr. Nice Guy claims he has solved Ben Simmons' foul shooting conundrum, and he wants to know how to be compensated, and he says, hey, he's going to go full old-school 1970s Rick Barry, underhanded. Yeah. Remember years ago when Shaquille O'Neal was horrifically bad at the foul line? It had been suggested to put the Rick Barry underhand foul shooting method on display. And if I remember correctly, Shaq was not interested in that because it's very emasculating to shoot foul shots underhanded. That it is a blow. You know, if you're a tough guy and you've got testosterone, to shoot foul shots underhanded, it's very unbecoming. And it's not just Shaq. There have been other players that have been horrific. DeAndre Jordan's another one. We're like, why doesn't he, back in the Lob City days, why doesn't he shoot underhanded? Yeah. Now, I could create the perfect NBA player. I'm going to tell you, there's two things. There's two skill sets that this NBA player has in my Frankenstein Mahler lab to create the most unstoppable NBA player. I'm going to give you those two things. That's a Fox Sports Radio Ben Mahler Show exclusive.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Mahler Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's Ben, host of the Fifth Hour with Ben Mahler, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is the Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of the Ben Mahler Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week, explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to the Fifth Hour with Ben Mahler on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Diamondbacks have lost again. Now, they're at home now, so the road losing streak isn't continuing.
They're so bad that Albert Pujols looks like he's back with the Cardinals hitting bombs against Arizona.
Dodgers with the 9-8 win. That's 17 straight losses overall for your
Arizona. How great was it the Dodgers Arizona playing Diamondbacks. With the Diamondbacks, allowing them to think they were going to come back and win that game, it's get cruel. Close?
It's absolutely cruel.
It was. It was great, though. Yeah. I enjoyed it. Yeah.
Is that where Roberto is? Did he go to Arizona?
No. I think he's celebrating Father's Day extended.
Oh.
Dance remix there. It's a big holiday, Eddie.
Daddy.
Father's Day.
I guess it is. I don't know how it is in your neighborhood, Ben, but the fireworks are going off right and left in our...
Really?
In our Yes. Any excuse to shoot off fireworks, I guess.
Yeah.
The dogs enjoy that.
Yeah. One of my fond memories of the COVID shutdown of 2020 was on the 4th of July, and really the days leading up to the 4th of July. Fireworks everywhere. It was like a demilitarized zone in my neighborhood, and these were like Disneyland-style fireworks. These were not just the kind, you know, the safe and sane kind you would get down the street when we were kids, Eddie. You launch them out of like a grenade launcher. It's unreal. Craziness.
I hear you, and you always talk about investing. I know you're an investor. I'm really not.
Yes.
Coop also likes to invest.
Maybe, I like to think I'm investing.
Maybe we should invest in fireworks with the number of fireworks that are shot off routinely.
Well, my sources tell me that those fireworks, we're based in Los Angeles, that there's a lot of people, Eddie, that make the run for the border.
Yeah,
there.
Well, apparently, can you not invest in foreign companies? I mean,
I don't know that there's I don't think there's a lot of money in that.
No? Okay. Well,
yeah. Like, I had heard that the reason those fireworks were available readily is because so many local municipalities' fireworks shows were canceled. The people that made the fireworks were left with all these fireworks. And they were selling them on pennies on the dollar to try to get their money back. And so that's why they were readily available. That's what I had heard. Because every city's like, well, we can't have fireworks because of COVID. And can't have people get together and watch fireworks from their backyard. And so they got rid of that. Anyway, thank you for that, Eddie. It is the Ben Mahler Show as we press on, bloviating the overnight hours away. So the perfect basketball player into Frankenstein / Mahler's lab. Mr. Nice Guy brought up the Rick Barry. But if I were to create the perfect NBA player, I would take a young player that has great ability. And there's two things I would teach that player. Number one would be the Rick Barry foul shot. If you can make 85 to 95% of your foul shots and you have the ability to get fouled a lot, that is a lethal weapon, as we have seen in the NBA. Over the years, obviously, there's certain guys that get fouled more than others that are very good at getting to the foul line and have the officials in their back pocket. But to convert the foul shots at a high rate is tremendous. So the Rick Barry technique, underhand foul shooting. The other thing is the skyhook. The skyhook, if you are someone of size, it is the most unstoppable shot, most unstoppable play in all of sport. And to think that no one since Kareem Abdul-Jabbar has regularly used that in their arsenal. There have been select random players that from time to time have used a mini skyhook, but the majestic Luau Cinder Kareem Abdul-Jabbar skyhook, undefendable, unstoppable. He made it at such a high rate, and yet it takes a lot of time to master that, a lot of practice, a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, and no one's been willing to put the work in. No one's been willing to do it. They want to do their own thing. I mean, there are other moves in basketball. The dream shake, the Akeem the Dream, Elijah Wan, the Dream Shake back in the day. But the sky hook and the underhand foul shooting, two simple things. And the underhand foul shooting thing, if you do that, it's not like anyone can run out and block the shot, and you make it. It's such a high percentage. My goodness. All right, now I want to circle back to the 76ers. We have some more audio. Good audio. When you got good audio, you got to play good audio. And we have the good audio. Ben Simmons. All right, Ben Simmons mentioned his struggles. He's just afraid to shoot the ball. He's got a case of not the yips. There's something else there. He just gets tight Tookus syndrome, doesn't shoot at all late in games. $30 million a year ball player, which is fine. Congratulations on making the money. But when you make that kind of money, you've got to be able to shoot the ball or at least occasionally take a shot in the fourth quarter when your team's drowning. Anyway, here's Ben Simmons. A lot of chatter. You're going to hear a lot of this noise over the next couple of days and the next couple of weeks and months that Ben Simmons will be out in Philly. And here you'll hear the question and the answer. Was this the final game in a Sixers uniform for Ben Simmons?
Toward the end of the game, there were a few chants that were going out there asking, trade Ben Simmons, stuff like that. Do you feel like you played your last few minutes here in Philadelphia?
I feel like we just lost game 7. That's about it.
Would you like just to remain in Philadelphia?
Yeah, I mean, I love being in Philly. You know, I love this organization. The fans are great, great people. I mean, I had a bad series. I expect that. It's Philly.
Yeah. So that was a by-the-book answer. And maybe that's how he feels. I mean, I don't know. I'm not in the mind of Ben Simmons. I mean, it's certainly possible. He'll, at some point, I would imagine, say, well, I'm going to do some self-reflection and some introspection and try to find some enlightenment. And we might be hearing a different song here that people around Ben Simmons will start leaking to Woj and the other NBA insiders that Ben Simmons really thinks he needs a fresh start, needs to go somewhere else and all that. Here's one more from Ben Simmons, and you'll hear the question and the answer again on what exactly he needs to work on.
Ben, Doc said there's work to do, and he and you need to get into the gym. What do you think the work is that needs to be done and, I guess, prioritized? Is it free throw shooting? Is it being more aggressive? Is it perimeter shooting? What is it in your game that you think you need to improve first?
I think all of it. You hit on all of it. I ain't shoot well from the line this series. Offensively, I wasn't there. I ain't doing enough for my teammates. There's a lot. There's a lot of things I need to work on.
Yeah. So in other words, reinventing the wheel. He needs to reinvent the wheel. This is like a total bullcrap story that we've heard over the last couple of years. Now, I have no skin in the game. I'm not a Philadelphia fan. I'm not a Sixers fan. But I know from doing this job and chronicling the Sixers, who've been one of the high-profile teams, that we've heard similar comments about Ben Simmons. And it seems to me, number one, to be a total boondoggle that every year we hear he's going to be more aggressive. And remember, it was before the season. It was like, he's going to shoot the three-point shot now. And all this, it's a waste of time. It is literally and figuratively a waste of time. I mean, the meat of the matter is that Ben Simmons is who he is, for better or worse. Now, I don't think he's terrible. He's fine for 75% of the game. The problem is that most games are won or lost in the fourth quarter. And so for 75% of the game, he's like, well, Ben Simmons is not a problem. We get a lot of rebounds. He'll pass the ball pretty well. He's really good around the rim at scoring. So in theory, that's not a bad player. But you got to shoot from the outside. I ought to coach this guy. They ought to hire me as an assistant coach in Philadelphia. Moneyball Maller. If I could get a couple of minutes with Ben Simmons, Moneyball Maller, I dominated the parks back in the day. Teach this guy how to shoot the three-point shot, and everyone would thank me. That's how that would go. All right, straight ahead, we're going to have the MLB Pick'em. The MLB Pick'em. Here's the Who Am I game. We'll continue the theme of the hour. So Doc Rivers has now lost each of the last four game sevens, including last year with the Clippers against the Nuggets. That ties me for the longest losing streak in game sevens by any head coach in NBA history. Again, Doc Rivers, your Philadelphia 76ers coach, has now lost each of his last four game sevens, including last year with the Clips against the Nuggets. That ties me for the longest losing streak in game sevens by any head coach in NBA history. Who am I? The answer and the MLB pick'em next.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
From the first moment you tune in, you know the Ben Maller Show is not your garden variety sports talk. We welcome all the freaks of nature to the Maller Militia. Facebook's an online amusement park for all of us. You can chat with other super fans of the show. It's simple and it's free. Help support our show by liking our page. Go to facebook.com/Ben Maller Show. And now live in the Fox Sports Radio studios, it's Ben Maller.
Congratulations to Doc Rivers. Always impressive when you make NBA history. He's done it. Doc Rivers has now lost each of his last four Game 7s. Unfortunately for me, most of those were the Clippers. But last four Game 7s, including last year against the Nuggets, that ties me for the longest such losing streak in Game 7s by any head coach in NBA history. Who am I? That is the question. What is the answer? Manic Mike got this right, clearly cheating. Emmett, the blind Seahawk fan, is going with Mark Jackson. There goes that man. George Carl from Rob in Minnesota. Jason in Rocky Mount, Virginia, a big supporter of the Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, says the mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart, is the answer. Chris in Des Moines says Herb Tarlick. Yes, anybody in radio over the last 40, 50 years can thank WKRP in Cincinnati, but incorrect. Who else? We have Gene Shu from Pauly D, Billy Cunningham, tossed out by Vols fan Jimmy, Rod Stewart from Luke the Vending Guy, Dennis Rodman from Robbie the Mariner fan, Stan Van Gundy, guest by Oscar. Who else do we have? Dr. Rios from Daddy Alon. That's his guess. Jason in Denver going with Scotty Skiles. As his answer, just Josh cheating. He got it right. Cole Beasley from Mr. Nice Guy. I know Mr. Nice Guy is a big fan of Cole Beasley. The Aussie guy's going with Kyle Shanahan as his answer. Robin Vegas says the big dog, Roman Reigns. Who else do we have? Roman Reigns. Tim Pink Floyd, guessed by Rich. All right, do you have an answer, Eddie? Quickly, Eddie, please.
I don't have an answer.
You do not have an answer. Thanks for playing, Eddie. Appreciate that. The correct answer would be none other than Rick Adelman. Rick Adelman, Sacramento, Portland, among others, lost four straight Game 7s from 2002 to 2009. In the postseason. So it's Rick Adelman and Doc Rivers. And that leads us into the MLB pick'em. We did golf at the end of the week, and apparently Coop picked John Rahm.
That's right. That's right, I did. And today I'm going to pick Jacob DeGrom.
Yeah, odd first pick. I didn't see that one coming. Eddie.
Let's go with Kyle Gibson. Of the
All
Texas
right.
Rangers.
You can sound excited about that. I will take Julio Urias of the Los Angeles Dodgers. Chris.
Am I going back to back?
Yep.
Back to back.
Okay. Carlos Pena and Omar Infante.
All right. I'll take good picks. Jesse Winker. Eddie.
Carlos Correa.
Coop. Back to back.
I will go with Ronald Acuna Jr.
All right.
And Jose Ramirez.
Eddie.
Jose Altuve.
Cedric Mullins of the Orioles. And Chris.
Jeremy Bonderman of the Tigers.
Bonderman was so good. I think he's going to make a comeback.